Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. And Larry, are you on with us?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. They must be slipping up. Maybe they're asleep at the switch or something. Who knows? Before we get going, I should tell everybody the May Prophetic Insider and the May Twilight magazine are up. And, of course, free for all membership people. And they are good articles and whatnot. On both of them, on Twilight and Prophetic Insider, are concerning the virus and how much you're being lied to about all of this absolute lying to people. And it's just too bad that the American people are so non-observant that they haven't picked up on it, although some people, I guess, are picking up on it. Before we get rolling, though, I'd like to get into this comet that is appearing. It's called Comet Swan. Now, the interesting part about Comet Swan, aside from the fact that it's a green comet, which leads one to believe maybe it's going to be announcing one of the horsemen. This comet, Swan, was actually discovered on 4/11, April 11th. Its closest approach to Earth is 5.6 astronomical units, which is just one astronomical unit is the distance from Earth to the Sun. So it's a very close approach, actually. And that adds up, of course, to an 11 as well. And its closest approach is actually on May 12th. Now, this is interesting in view of what Mike from around the world, a lot of people don't believe anything he has to say, but it's interesting what he did say, that we were moving into a debris field. And Larry had a vision about that, which maybe we can get him to talk about that. But anyway, we are moving into a debris field of some type, and part of that is Halley's Comet debris field. But I've been trying to find out that evidently there's another debris field coming in at the same time. Now, I don't know if they're talking about Halley's or not. However, we have had a marked increase in close encounters. In fact, we just had one. I think it was either today or yesterday. Very, very close. It was by the Earth. It was the size of a truck, I guess, pretty good size thing. Anyway, Mike from around the world says we enter this on May 12th. And it will be carrying iron oxide and brimstone with it. Kind of interesting. 60 days later, a more intense storm will follow. And by fall, when the virus is being set to return, the biggest debris field will begin to come in. And anyway, he cites Revelation 8:7, the first angel sounded his trumpet. There came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Now, we'll just have to wait and see whether that's now or later down the road. But it's kind of interesting because of this appearance of this interstellar comet. I don't really know where it came from. And you may remember that Susan Boyle, also on a 411 in British Got Talent, sang her swan song of humanity, I Dreamed a Dream. And also, you might want to remember that two comets crossed over the star Elgol, or Satan's head, both on a 411, one in 1996, the other in 1997. And here we are, 23 years later, from the 1997 crossing, which completed the cross into heavens, signifying that the work of Christ was done and accomplished, and which would also imply that the church age was, or the age of grace, would be rapidly coming to a close. Now, the number 23 means death. And with this green comet, and it's fluorescing mightily, I guess, and they don't know what it's going to do. The green haze of Noah's prophecy. And the Islamics have a prophecy about a smoke that covers the earth. So my only question would be, would the green haze of Noah's prophecy possibly be a plasma type event due to the close approach of Comet Swan, which is nothing more than an electrical, according to James McKinney. We live in an electrical universe. Our bodies are body electric. Everything is based upon frequency and electricity, electromagnetism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think, Larry? Do you think there's anything to this Comet Swan? The timing of it is what makes me interested in it.
Well, we're watching that, and we've had a number of Swan events, warnings coming out at the very same time which we've done this, and it's very, very interesting, you know, where some of this goes, especially talking about the pestilence or the pandemic that we've got going, and Barry Rothman's work into that at the same time. It all fits together, it seems, because, you know, the pale horse is really represented
green,
by the
yep.
name Chloros, and that's really green, actually, is what the pale horse is about, if you really look into it. And that really goes way back when William Cooper, Bill Cooper, wrote Behold the Pale Horse, and people just don't put together any of the dots.
Yeah, it's too bad that they, well, of course, they haven't been taught how to do that. In school, they're not taught really to think anymore, which is one of the reasons why globalists like Fauci and Birx and all these can run a scam like this COVID-19 scam so easily upon the people, because they don't know how to investigate. They don't know how to put together the dots. And even with all these doctors coming out and saying, hey, wait a minute, there's something really, really wrong here. And, of course, the telltale sign really is when you've got Google and Facebook and YouTube all saying the only news about COVID-19 that will be allowed is what the World Health Organization, with a UN communist operation from start to finish, totally corrupt from one end to the other, is our CDC. But anyway, that's the only news that's going to be allowed. We're not going to allow even experts. Come on. And there was a lady who was a scientist who's kind of battling Fauci right now, exposing Fauci for what and who he is. And they almost immediately took her video down. Somebody did an interview with her, and it was a startling interview. And it's just too bad people can't. I don't know if people can still find it out there or not. I think you can if you go on YouTube. But anyway, back to Comet Swan and the green, or as Larry said, the horse. which signifies probably death and destruction, which ties into the number 23, which I just read. Anyway, what happened to Comet Swan? This week, an unexpected outburst from Comet Swan amazed observers in the southern hemisphere who could actually see the comet brighten with their unaided eyes. Now, my daughter took a picture, very interesting picture. It's green, and we don't know if it's Comet Swan that she was able to capture or whether we're having more plasma events. And, of course, we got earthquakes that are starting to rise. We got volcanic activity starting to rise. And earthquakes, there was a fellow that wrote a book about earthquakes, and they immediately shut him down. Larry Parks was his name. I don't know where Larry is now these days. But he spoke about these plasma balls that arise out of the surface of the Earth, and they float up high, and they're mistaken many times for UFOs, when in fact they're a plasma event. And it happens because of rocks way deep into the ground rubbing together, and evidently it causes an electrical plasma discharge. And there was a lady right over here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, who had several of them rise up right out of the ground from her lawn. And they floated around a bit and rose up, and then they finally just vanished. But anyway, this thing, they're not sure, really, what this thing is going to do. And they say it might have fragmented, exposing bright clouds of dusty gas to the sun. And the comet's tail looks like debris from an explosion. Well, that can spread out really very, very rapidly. That's my concern. And if we don't go through the tail of it, which we might not this year, but we could next year, it's just kind of interesting. It's a heads up because of the debris fields, the asteroids that are coming in now, are coming in much more, I don't know, numerous, I guess one could say, where, you know, practically every week there's a close call of some fairly good size chunks of rock. And one of these days we're going to have, according to the Bible, a massive chunk of rock, at least two, if not three. And one of them falls into the ocean and destroys one-third of all the shipping, which is would be a major event, I guess one could say that. Anyway, on May 27th, that's when the comet slingshots past the sun, and it comes very, very close to the orbit of Mercury. So this is going to be a very interesting thing to watch and see if anything begins to fragment, or maybe it'll just, you know, disappear, vanish. And anyway, I just thought I would bring that one up. What have you got, Larry, you want to talk about first before we get rolling?
Well, I was going to mention that experience that I had where I was taken into outer space and
yes.
Observed these asteroids or rocks, if you will, or pieces of comet. I couldn't tell what they were. And they literally, on their own, suddenly changed direction. And ever since I had that experience, every time I talk about incoming, I think about that. With all this movement out there, Stuart, it could be pieces of any of these comets that could come through our atmosphere, or as we're getting more and more information, of course, they don't talk about the destroyer or the other sun or, you know, the twin mm-hmm. of our... It's odd, isn't it odd, Stuart, how that they say we have a binary star system. And when I was taught in school, they teach you bi means two. So we have a two-sun solar system, but nobody ever wonders, where's the other one, do they?
No, they don't. And, of course, it's more normal, folks, for binary systems than it is to have a star all by itself. So if you studied astronomy or that sort of thing before, and we've had some pretty illustrious suicided people talked about the Destroyer and Planet X, Planet of the Crossing, whatever you want to call it, and of course in the Book of the Colburn, and it's also in the Bible, by the way, if you know where to look for it. there's all kinds of evidence that this thing does come around, and as Solon was told by the Greek, by the Egyptian sages, when he visited Egypt, they kind of scolded him and said, well, you know, don't you realize that the earth is destroyed many times from different sources, and then civilization has to rebuild itself? Well, we're just coming up on one of those things, and Jesus called it the end of the age, and that he would be with us to the end of the age. Doesn't mean the world's going to be destroyed. It simply means that we're going to go through some horrendous times. Basically, our global civilization will be brought down to zero again, and then in the millennial age, it gets rebuilt. And at the end of the millennial age, according to everything I can find out, some sort of a portal opens up, and the whole earth is removed from what it is now or where it is now. So this is all going to be very, very interesting as we approach that time. And as we've said, and Larry has brought out a number of times, the wise men, the so-called rulers of Psalm 2, kings of the earth, are the most deceived of all. Somehow they think they are going to go to Mars or go to the moon or go under the ocean or go into their caves, and they're going to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. But the Bible says, I don't care where you went. The Lord says, doesn't matter where you go, I'm going to ferret you out, and I'm going to destroy you. So just a word to the wise, to the deep global deep state who think they've got this wired and they can go anywhere and escape. No, they cannot. The judgment is coming upon all, and humanity is going to be judged, and we're approaching that time of judgment. And I guess that's the only way you can look at it. What say you, Larry, on that?
Well, I think you're exactly right, Stuart, and at the same time, you know, we're talking about a lot of this rock or space rock or pieces of comet or et cetera coming through. We're seeing more and more of this. And recently, you know, there's been a kind of unclassified report of interstellar. That's a new word, basically, I suppose, with incoming. Interstellar objects, you know, we started with Oumuamua. And then after that, we've had more and more of those begin to, you know, come into our solar system and are coming by the Earth. And, you know, we're seeing them and recording them, but nobody connects the dots that these apparently are first-time visitors to our civilization, I'll put it that way. And so yes, we're claiming they're first-time visitors when all along they probably shot through here before, but we just didn't know how to put it with prior civilizations' data.
Yeah. There's a prophecy here that I was handed. I'll just read part of this. This is just a short word to relay what I have been shown. Now, you have to take all this with a grain of salt, obviously. Hopefully it comes true. I was awakened just after midnight on May 6th, and suspended before me, I saw a big red apple with a giant black bruise on it. Then I was looking down from my high vantage point at a city full of skyscrapers and many lights. It was nighttime, and I heard the Father say, I will strike New York. And I remembered that this city is referred to as the Big Apple, and I knew the bruise I had seen on the apple was due to it being struck dead center. I mentioned that it had already been struck with COVID-19, and he replied, she will be struck from without. And for a split second, I wondered if he meant a military attack of some sort.
Then in the left top corner of my vision, I saw flaming fireballs streaking down from space. Now, this ties back into Larry's vision, where these whole group of rocks, and this may be that debris field that Mike from around the world is talking, may not have anything to do with Halley's Comet. This may be something different. It's supernatural, obviously, if it changes position and comes down. And Larry, do you remember the visions? And there were several, three or four of them, from the same person who kept saying that the Lord told them of a fiery event that would be the kickoff event. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. No, a number of people, including, if you will, Stan Deo, you know, talking about fireballs and it begins.
Mm. You're right. A fiery event. So it sounds like a meteor storm.
And at the same
time, it says the impact of a flaming meteor would be the strike. I prayed, oh, Lord, remember there are believers in New York. In judgment, please remember mercy. David Wilkinson's church has been there serving faithfully for many years. This is just a short word to relay what I have been shown. So who knows what this is about, really. We don't. But if it's a meteor strike, then that would not surprise me. Or it could be a missile attack. I remember the fellow, I can't think of his name right now, but he did all that research on the paper currencies of America and how they have ingrained on them all these scenes of destruction. And New York was one of them, that a missile comes down and it's nuked in the it blows up in the sea. And what it does, it creates a tsunami that comes in and all but wipes out. So you get all these different scenarios. We just have to watch and see. But we are coming up on something. And, Larry, I'd like your take on this, too. You remember that Israel was going to form a new government, right?
Well, that's they're working on that. It appears that Netanyahu's having as much trouble getting a government together and keeping it together as Trump did, you know, with his 4 years here in America.
Yeah. Well, they claim now, I got this out of Israel, but I don't know if it's true or not, that on May 13th, 2020, May 13th, which is next Wednesday, they will officially form that coalition government. Now, you remember the prophecy of the rabbi? And he said, when you see this is foreign, and we thought that was back when they were even talking about it, and they had actually agreed that this is what they were going to do. Well, now this is the official legal formation on May 13th, they claim. Okay, so the rabbi said, when you see that happen, you will... On the next Sabbath, Antichrist will be revealed. Now, this is interesting, which would mean that it's the Sabbath. And guess who is showing up for a major, major speech to be carried by all the networks, including Fox News? Barack Hussein Obama will have a one-hour speech, I guess, and all of U.S. media, and of course this probably means around the world as well, will be watching this speech. It begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Now, what's very, very interesting about that is what happens... because we're very, very close to Pentecost. And, of course, a lot of people think that Jesus will resurrect or come back for his church on Pentecost because
the first Pentecost was when the church began, so therefore it makes total sense that on the last Pentecost, the church age would end. So there's a lot of speculation about that. But what's interesting to me is from that speech all the way over to Tu B'Av. Now, folks, if you're not familiar with Tu B'Av is a minor Jewish feast, and a lot of the rabbis are kind of mystified by it. It's when the girls in Israel dress up in white gowns, and they go out into the fields, and they dance a dance. It is a time when the men of Israel go select their bride. The young men go out and select their brides. Well, that really does look an awful lot like the Jesus Christ coming to select out his brides. You may remember Ken Peter's vision where all of the people that had been resurrected from the plasma global event that blew up all the graves, and there was a huge resurrection. All of them had white robes. So it's just very, very interesting. And Tu B'Av is that date. It's exactly 80 days from the time Obama speaks to this Tu B'Av, which falls on 8/4/2020. Well, what has 80 got to do with anything? Well, it is Israel, under the law of Israel, if a woman gave birth to a girl, she had 80 days to before she was considered clean again. And I find that very, very interesting, because there are those who say the church is really a girl, the bride. And so it all kind of ties together, and we are definitely getting closer and closer and closer. Anyway, just, I don't know. Any comment there, Larry? That's just kind of interesting, all this stuff.
Yeah, that's it's interesting how all this stuff just like a whole bunch of pieces of a picture puzzle, and they're starting to fit together to some degree. You're beginning to see a picture of something. What's interesting, you mentioned that fact. It appears because of all the troubles that have really troubled that government over in Israel, and they don't really have one. And if true, this is going to really make a difference, because they're going to have a government that's not a government, if you will. I think Netanyahu's going to lead off,
yes.
And they've stopped everywhere in the world for him to do that, but it looks like he's going to lead off as the prime minister, and Gantz is going to be the Knesset speaker, if you will,
mm-hmm.
For three plus and a half years or something like that, and this is unprecedented, but it does look like it's pivoting that direction. And I did hear, Stuart, I don't know what the timing of the reasoning is for it. I posted it on my blog, I believe yesterday, that suddenly Pompeo, during the pandemic, is flying immediately to Israel next week. So wonder what that's all about.
Probably the formation of the new government. Which is done, I guess, I don't know. The one was an announcement, the other becomes legal. So this may be what the rabbi was talking about. If so, it just seems odd that on the Sabbath next is when Obama basically will be speaking to the world. The address is for all the graduates of all the schools in the United States, and obviously then to the world. Very, very fascinating. In the first place, why would the major networks be carrying Obama?
That's not a really hard question, Stuart. They're carrying Obama because the powers that be want that to happen. And the New World Order crowd that is one of Obama's manipulators want that to happen. And oddly enough, Stuart, could it be that Obama's forming his new generation of people?
Mm-hmm. be careful about Obama. Now, there's a fellow that goes on YouTube a lot, and you got to give the guy credit. He's always out there trying to figure out when the Lord's going to return, and he never gives up, and that's good because Jesus said to watch, always watch, and be speculating. There's nothing wrong with it. You're supposed to do that according to the Lord himself. Anyway, he's very good at it. And what he came up with is kind of interesting. He starts back. Now, this is all about Barack Hussein Obama. And I had that dream. I'm not going to say God gave it to me, but I think he did. And I was teaching prophecy in some room somewhere. I have no idea where I was. And I'm in the middle of this class, and in walks Obama. Big smile on his face, beautiful suit like he always wears. He walked over to me, and I said, "You know you're Lucifer, don't you?" And he nodded, smiled, and says, "Yes, I know." And then I woke up. Well, there have been a lot of Christians who have heard, had visions and dreams about Obama being the son of lawlessness, Lucifer, the Antichrist, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, this fellow, Steve Fletcher, has done a lot of work on the possibility that something is happening right under our nose, and because we're looking in the wrong direction, we're not watching it, we're not seeing it. And you remember when Jesus said that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Now, Israel was the first with their Davidic Abrahamic covenant. The church is last with the return covenant. It's a heavenly covenant, a promise of the Lord to come get his bride and take her to heaven, to the Father's house. So the other covenants, the Abrahamic and Davidic, which were made to Israel, are earthly covenants. The two don't hit. They're not the same at all. People mix that up, but they are totally different. Anyway, what's interesting is, and I read a book a long time ago by a theological or prophetic guy, a professor. He was an older fella from Bethel University over in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in which he said, we've got it all wrong. That what we have to do is we have to add 1260, 1290, plus 1335. In other words, you don't take the 1290 and add 45 days to it to get to the 1335. You have to take the whole thing and you add together 1260 plus 1290 plus 1335. And he presented a very solid scholarly argument of the language. He said, this is how it's read, and this is how you have to read it. Well, that changes things a bit. And what Steve Fletcher has done is some of the things that Obama has done. He starts off with the Nobel Peace Prize that Obama was awarded. Remember that? Back in October 9th, 2009. And wasn't that the time, Larry, when they had that very strange spiral appear over the Strait of Norway?
Yeah, I believe it was, actually.
Well, anyway, this gets even more interesting. And that happened, October 9th, 2009, just happened to be the seventh day of Tabernacles, which, of course, is when Jesus himself revealed who he was to Israel. That was on the Feast of Tabernacles. Anyway, to some of the Christians who were really watching, they thought, that's odd. We have this agreement, this covenant of many where Christ, Obama, you know, more or less said, well, we got to have world peace. And remember that he was presented really as a peacemaker. And Daniel says, by peace he destroys many. Anyway, I guess you could stretch that any way you want, but Obama was hailed as a messiah. If you remember, all of the news people were more or less pointing to Obama as the messiah who was going to come and save the world, the great peacemaker. So, anyway, we start there, according to Steve Fletcher. This is 0 point, the covenant. Exactly 1,260 days later, Obama is in the most holy place of the Christians, which is the grotto where Christ was born. At least that's what everybody reveres that as. So that would be to the Christians a holy of holies, which is very, very interesting because it's 1,260 days later when the abomination stands in the holy place, standing where it ought not. This is kind of interesting because Israel, what they're referring to is the Holy of Holies in the temple. So these signs are basically for the church, and only the church would understand it, which is like to be of. The rabbis cannot understand it because they don't understand Jesus coming back to pick up his bride. So to them, it's just kind of like a Valentine's Day. Anyway, so then you go from the abomination, and by the way, that occurred on March 22nd, 2013, which is a 322 skull and bones time. That's their number, skull and bones, 322. It's also the time when the dedication of the Georgia Guidestones was on 322. You can look it up. It's right in the picture. Dedicated on 322. Skull and Bones Day. Death. Number 23. Number of death. Anyway, from that time, then you add the 1,290 days, and that lands on the Feast of Trumpets. And Obama had just been in Israel, and he issued a Feast of Trumpets speech from the White House. That was his last Feast of Trumpets speech, because that was seven and a half about years ago that he had been elected president. So, and it's a very interesting speech about making the world a kinder, more peaceful place, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, then what's kind of interesting is if you add 1,335 days, guess where it lands? Pentecost. This year. Pentecost this year.
Wow.
So when you add that in with Obama making the speech with Rabbi and the Sabbath, the next Sabbath, and 4 days later, Obama's to make his speech at 8 p.m. about the new order of things. Obviously, he's going to be talking about that. And like you just said, Larry, is this a speech to the young? Which I believe it is. And those are the ones who are going to put him in office again. Well, you say you can't. Well, if Michelle, now they're working on Michelle being in. Well, if Michelle gets in, Obama's right behind her. Or him. However you want to look at that. Anyway, I just thought all that was kind of interesting, folks. I don't know if it means a thing, but don't be surprised if it does. And don't be surprised if it doesn't. And what else you got, Larry, you want to bring out?
Well, I find it interesting that, you know, as I said before, you know, there was some data out there in the background that I really can't vet that much, but, you know, I said it on a previous program, dealing with some data from Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle, Mike Adams, Paul Preston and John Moore, et cetera, and a general that I think I know who it is, but I'm not going to say. They're all indicating that in the background that a lot of our military is being brought back home to fight a war here because we're about to be invaded.
And I know people, you know, they hear that and they think, well, oh boy, there's one more conspiracy theory. Well, you got to remember, folks, all conspiracies are not theories. You know, no kidding. Matter of fact, what happened to General Flynn, that's not a conspiracy theory either. It's real. But oddly enough, I saw, and I posted it today, I think, on my blog, where suddenly we're bringing our, we're removing our troops and Patriot missile systems from Saudi Arabia. They're also talking about maybe bringing our troops back from the Golan Heights region where we've had them with Israel. There's something mm-hmm. big going on. And, Stuart, a lot of our, I guess you could say artillery, and that doesn't mean just artillery. I'm talking about weaponry, is really being repositioned closer to the U.S. And, of course, nobody knows why and nobody asked. It's kind of interesting.
It is in view of Trump, because Donald Trump has studied the Chinese general's art of war, I understand. And, you know, you have a belligerent fight, we'll say, with a neighbor, okay, and threats and counter-threats and all of this. And you know perfectly well that if you don't take this neighbor out, O-U-T, he's going to take you out. And so what would you do if you were going to do the art of war? Well, you'd pull back all your troops. You'd say, you know what? I don't want to fight anymore. Had enough. Have it your way. And you would kind of disarm your belligerent neighbor that way, and then you hit him with everything you've got. And so I'm wondering if that's a possibility because of your friend's war everywhere breaks out. Or, like Red Elk and others that have seen the invasion of the United States by China and Russia. And, of course, we have a huge fifth column military invasion that's been going on for years. Just like Jeremiah the prophet said, the open borders of America, Babylon, are open and have been open because the Lord opened them for the coming judgment of America. Here's a another kind of a prophecy, I guess. And I'm not sure exactly. It's 11:11, double judgment prophecies. And the Lord had shown me 11:11, and it means double judgment. Well, here are some of the things that are already being fulfilled. Plagues, beginnings of the economic collapse, beginnings of famine, judgment on the churches. They're all shut down, basically. And captivity. Well, you're not being held in captivity, or you're not. You go outside. I don't know how people cannot know that they are in captivity by a tyrannical medical fraud. In fact, there are lawsuits. We just got one here in Wisconsin. It's gone all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court that they have no right to do this. They cannot just arbitrarily write all these little laws in secret and then come out and say, well, it's the law and you got to stay in your home. They can't do that. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights supersedes that, which is what these legal arguments are all about. Anyway, prophecy is still to come. Here's the first one, Larry. War. That would be invasion, most likely. Then comes complete economic collapse, hyperinflation, massive earthquakes, California, New Madrid, East Coast, electrical grid goes down, possible EMP, rolling electrical brownouts, power outages, Yellowstone erupting, Hoover Dam cracks, Orville Dam breaks, earthquake, tsunami, New York City, pole shift, volcanoes erupting, the plagues of Egypt, the 10 plagues, 3 days of darkness, great persecution in America, the alien arrival and deception, brother against brother, civil war, fireballs, which has already started, actually, time's accelerating. Kind of interesting. We've talked about time compression before. That you probably would not necessarily notice right away if it is a time compression event rather than the Earth turning faster. A time compression event, you would simply notice that what took a half an hour to do now takes 2 hours to do or 3 hours to do. And people all over have reported that to me. How about you, Larry? Have you noticed that? I have.
Oh, yeah, without any, you know, I've had a lot of people talking about that, where they basically get up and then they turn around and go to bed because it takes no time to get the day over with. It's just gone, and they can't accomplish much every day. And, it's really interesting. You laid out a litany of things there that we're seeing all around us, that seem to be popping up one location after another. All across, as a matter of fact, you know, I posted yesterday a weather alert about, I guess you could say, a polar vortex, if you will, in the Northeast in the middle of May. And then on the West Coast, you've got heat that's like volcanic heat almost. It's just unbelievable, Stuart, what's going on.
Yeah, the weather, folks, is just going to get more and more erratic, and you're going to set more and more records. Tonight we're supposed to have a deep frost here. I don't know if it'll be a kill frost or not, but it's supposed to go way, way down to maybe 28, 27, somewhere in there, degrees tonight. Here it is in the middle of May. If it goes down as low as they think it could go down, that's going to set back everything. That's quite heavy. And they say it's going to happen for maybe 2-3 nights in a row. But here again, you know, what do you do? I mean, this is what happens when the weather becomes as erratic as it is. And, of course, they're blaming it on mankind and the SUVs and the trucks and the diesels and airplanes. When it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the sun cycles. I doubt if there are very many SUVs on Venus or on Mars. But they also, all the planets in the whole solar system are changing and changing rapidly. And I believe it has to do with the cosmic waves that are coming in. We've already had the preliminary ones. Here's something, Larry, we need to talk about. Do not take any COVID-19 tests. Banned from the military, can be forcibly taken from your home if you test positive, basically. Now, I read an article where they were tainted. These tests were tainted, actually, with the COVID-19 nanobot virus, whatever you want to call it. And this is from Hal Turner. And absolutely, he's right. There's no question about this article being right. In fact, I got a phone call just the other day about testing, where they want you to go to 3 or 4 different cities and get tested. Well, I'm not going to get tested. I absolutely refuse. They're not going to test me. And they're going to have to shoot me if they want to do it, and then it won't matter. And I would not advise anybody taking those tests. And here's why. If you happen to be on one of these lists, let's say you go to a grocery store, and they test you before they allow you to enter. They can tell you you're positive. If you're positive, they just take you somewhere and isolate you. Now, in California, the medical guy came out right away and said, well, if you're at home and one of you tests positive, you're just going to have to be removed. In America, this is what we're going to do. Well, they try to backtrack that. But what they do is they sent this stuff out. And I believe that's exactly what they mean, that's what they're going to do. And the military says if you've tested positive, then you cannot ever join the military. Now, why is that? Larry, what would be your guess as to why you could never be in the military if you've tested positive for that?
Well, hold on just a second. Let me shift this tinfoil hat of yours around just a little bit more. Okay, I'm getting a signal now. This is the oddity of this, Stuart. What do they know about this virus that it appears that you can not only get it again, that it's uncurable, that you never get rid of it? And why does it affect anyone going into the military or apparently other jobs? What is it about this virus? I dovetail it back into Barry Rothman and his research on it being an alien virus in origin, if you will,
yep,
mixed with the human coronavirus, which is real. And what is it, about this virus that it seems like all the health agencies don't know anything? They have no real answers. They're just guessing. And at the same time, Stuart, my oddity of the whole thing is not only the prophetic people saying there's another wave coming involving this, but now even a lot of the medical people around the world are saying maybe just a couple of months or just a little longer, maybe in the fall, we're going to have another, it's going to hit us again.
Well, that's what they're trying to say. They keep the fear index and the panic index way up there, the panic meter for the American people. Anyway, another huge dent, this is a back to Hal Turner, another huge downside to even getting tested is that self-anointed do-gooders in various public health agencies are now revealing they may decide to take it best to take any infected family member out of their home and away from the family for everyone's protection. Well, of course, what that means is you probably never see your family member again. Oh, they died from the disease. Probably sent off to a North Korean gulag because you don't know where they're taking them. Why anybody would allow these jerks, and now they're employing, they say, thousands of people to go out, knock on your door and demand you take a test. Well, I guess my attitude is first you pray with them and try to educate them and politely say no. And if they persist, you just slam the door in their face and see what happens next. Anyway, he says, this would include, of course, taking your children. Now, what would you do if your six-year-old son or daughter tested positive for COVID-19, which they can say it happened even when it didn't, was taken from your home to a quarantine center by some health authority? By what authority? They don't have this authority. They've manufactured it. They do not have it. It's like the FEMA executive orders. They were all passed secretly. Nobody reads them. They're illegitimate. They're unconstitutional. They destroy and shred the Constitution. FEMA, along with Homeland Security, are basically criminal operations from a legal viewpoint. And it doesn't matter if the Supreme Court says, oh, yeah, they got the right to do that. Here it is, executive orders. Congress didn't act. Well, of course Congress didn't act. An executive order, the way it was set up, and I've done a lot of research on that, the way an executive order was set up was so that the president could give an executive order for his employees to carry out certain things. It was never designed to annihilate the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. That was a satanic, cleverly laid trick. And they claim it's the color of law. Well, there's a big degree of fighting now going on in the courts across this country as to exactly what they can do and what they cannot do, which leads me to believe we will have an invasion because they don't want the courts to figure this one out, because then they've lost their stranglehold. Anyway, many folks will say thanks but no thanks. And what they're really getting at is contact tracing. They want to, this goes into the Bill Gates immunity certificates, the mark of the beast, all of that sort of thing. Others This is back to Hal Turner. Others are much more aggressive, saying they would not allow any government to take their family member against that family member's will. Well, I'm not so sure that that's actually true, because Child Protective Services, which is utterly corrupt as well, and is really, I guess, from everything that Alex Jones and others have investigated, is where child trafficking comes in. And but, you know, people are have their kids taken away all the time. They cannot even meet their accuser. They're never told who reported them. Now, in some cases, obviously, the child is definitely abused. But in many cases, and I know of several, there was absolutely nothing wrong done. Just some neighbor, some noise, kind of like these rat neighbors who rat out their neighbors. You got a lot of those kind of people, ton of those kind of people. And this is what's going to bring the downfall of the United States, is that kind of stuff, neighbor against neighbor. Anyway, be careful, folks. I would never take this test, never. Nor would I ever take any vaccine. That vaccine is undoubtedly filled with nanobot technology. And we'll have to get into what's probably in that vaccine in a later show. It's deadly, and there's a lot of experts that are warning, do not take this vaccine. Of course, what they're going to do if you don't take it, well, you can't go back into society, you can't have your job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mark of the beast. That means you cannot buy and you cannot sell. Here's a headline. California County to remove COVID-19 patients from homes based on living situation will place in other kinds of housing. Now, what's very, very interesting about this other kinds of housing, FEMA has been buying up or renting large spaces in hotels and motels, which I believe are where they house you. If you test positive, they'll take you to a local center, motel, whatever. And then from there, who knows what happens to you. Now, I know this sounds tinfoil hat. You better read Psalm 2. Jesus Christ says there is a conspiracy. And the conspirators are the kings and the rulers of this planet. And what they intend to do is remove Christians, Bill of Rights, constitutionalists. They want you dead. Georgia Guidestones, 322, Skull and Bones. These people are evil to the core. They're sold out to Satan. Hell awaits. You can't tell them anything. They're absolutely convinced they're correct and that they're going to win this. I got news for him. Jesus Christ is the actual creator. Any weapon that they would form against Jesus Christ, he can dissolve in a split second, no matter how advanced it is. And I don't, for the life of me, understand why these people cannot figure that one out. But I guess they can't. Larry, any final word?
Well, I would just say that we need to really watch closely. Because of the fact that with the DOJ, or if you will, Barr, trying to stop the prosecution of General Flynn, actually asking the judge to dismiss the charges, which from the left right now is total outrage, and Pelosi says, we're going to keep that judge, he's not going to stop this, what we're doing. So we're in a very dangerous time, Stuart. It's almost like somebody's pulled the Flynn string, and it may unstring a lot of data against Obama and associates and the deep state and the Dems. So it's a good time for a false flag.
Yeah, that's what, you know, when people begin to wake up, and they are starting to wake up slowly, but nevertheless waking up, and people are disregarding these government edicts, even in social distancing and all this junk. Go outside, turn around 10 times, say a word that we will give you to say, and then go back in your house and shut up. You just do what you're told. And the American people evidently are doing that. It's amazing, but it's the truth of what's happened. You have to go by reality, and the reality is
most of the American people are just sheep being led to the slaughter, and they have no clue what's coming. Thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Take care. Heads up, we are coming into some very, very interesting times here in the month of May. So, anyway, take care and good night. We'll see you later.